God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be here. I pray that our hearts are quieted and that we're able to open our ears to you. I pray that as we look into your word, that it's a common verse that we've heard many, many times, more than likely, God. And I pray that we hear it with fresh ears and we see it with new eyes. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to tell you guys a really funny story that happened to me. It's been maybe 15 years, so I sent a text to my friend to remind me kind of his viewpoint of what really took place. But I used to work at a camp, and one of the summers at the camp, we would be able to go like on the weekends and different things like that to use the camp material to play. And so one of the things was a boat. It was a kayak, and I had been practicing in the lake, which in a kayak you have like a skirt, not like a girly skirt, but like a skirt that keeps the water from coming in and sinking your kayak. And so I had been practicing flipping over and turning and getting right side up. Well, my wife actually was an instructor, is a kayak teacher. And so we were newly married, and we weren't married. And she had told Will Nation, a friend of hers that taught and instructed with her, like, please just do not let anything happen to him. You know, they're like these super strong wilderness guys, you know, that went with me. So there were about five or six of them. And we decided one weekend that we were going to go down to Nantahala. Well, something that you need to know about the Nantahala River is that it is a dam-controlled river, meaning they release the water from the dam, and then the elevation comes up from the water so that you can kayak and go down the boat, and there's rapids and things like that. So the water is about, 4 or 5 degrees Celsius. Maybe 40, 42 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's really, really cold water. Well, Denise, before I left, you know, she was worried about me because she knows how I am and how stupid I can be. And she said, just if you get into a pinch, just paddle. You know, like if you feel like you're not balanced, just start paddling. And so it's like, okay. And so that was the one thing that stuck out in my head. Well, as I'm going down the river, you know, it's a little bit rough, but it's just in the beginning. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to start paddling. Well, I noticed that, like, I'm paddling more than the other people, so I'm getting further and further ahead. And all of a sudden, there was this, like, this thing, and it's like an upward V thing, like this. And I hit it, like, wrong. And all of a sudden, in my paddling, I flipped, and there was nobody around me because I was in the front, right? And all of a sudden, I am underwater, and I am, like panicking. And there's, you know, it's about, like, this deep, so you've got a helmet on, fortunately, but your head's, like, hitting things, and you're hitting rocks, and you're, like, freaking out. And the water is just coming fast. And I was just, you're supposed to pull the skirt like this, and I panicked so much, I just shoved my body out. Well, you would think that after that everything would be okay because you have a life jacket on, right? No. I go to breathe a breath of air, and the water was so cold that my lungs would not expand, and I'm like, and I just felt like I couldn't breathe. Well, in that panic, my brain was confused. I had forgotten everything that they told me that I was to do. Fortunately, they came. There were a couple of guys that came, and they grabbed my boat, and they said some kind of gibberish to me, and I didn't hear it. And I went to the edge of the shore. Well, as I went to the edge of the shore, I see everybody else continue down the river. And I go, well, I was never a Boy Scout, but I know you're supposed to stay and not go anywhere. So I stayed put, right? What felt like for at least 15, 20 minutes to me. So after 15 to 20 minutes, at least my thought of 15 to 20 minutes, I decide, well, I guess they're not coming back for me. So I go up along the edge of the road, and I just start walking. And I walk down the road, and, you know, cars are passing by, and I'm kind of doing this hitchhike thing because I know where I need to go. And eventually this girl comes by in a Mustang. I have to always add that. It was a girl in a Mustang. It's just kind of fun to say. But she came by, and so I hop in, and she's talking with me, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I know that I've got to, like, you know, go to this location. She's like, okay, I know where that's at. So she takes me. Well, the part that I didn't know was that everybody else had said, we will wait for you on the other side of the island, right? And I didn't hear that part, but they waited there for maybe 30 minutes to an hour. And in that time, Will Nation, the guy that I had just texted, said he came up, looked for me, ran up and down, went and got a car, and he came all the way back down. And he claims that I was wearing some leopard pant thing or something like that, which I wasn't. But he tells this story with that perspective. But the end of it all was it was one of the biggest misunderstandings of what am I to do in this situation. And I don't know about you guys, but misunderstandings are painful. You know, we think about in relationships, whether it's in marriage or friendships, misunderstandings happen all the time. You know, when we send emails out, you read something and maybe your brain thinks that you see one thing and really it's another thing. It's a misunderstanding. There are some misunderstandings that have greater consequences than others. You know, like for me, if I didn't really have an idea of where I was going, that misunderstanding could have left me by myself without any transportation, without any ability to go anywhere. You know, when you get lost in the woods and you don't meet up, a misunderstanding could mean death. There's lots of things in our lives that misunderstanding does. And so when you find yourself with a misunderstanding, what emotion happens inside of you? Who's right, usually? See, exactly. Always Terry Ann is right. We should always know. But you always think that you're the one that saw it properly. I had a misunderstanding in a bowling alley just the other day. I was with CISP kids and almost got into a fight in the bowling alley, but it was a misunderstanding. Not really, but felt like it. I saw Terry Ann, her eyes got really big there. But the reality is that when we have misunderstandings, it makes us angry. We feel that we've been betrayed sometimes. We feel that people aren't listening to us. We feel that life is just frustrating. And so I want to reread this story. If you could put Mark 11, 1 through 11. And if you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to turn there. If you don't, it's okay. You can look up on the screen. But let me read this one more time. In fact, before I read this, let me give a little backstory to this. These people saw Jesus as their Messiah. These people saw Jesus as the one that was going to conquer the Romans. These people saw Jesus as the person that was going to get rid of all of their pain and sorrow here and now on earth. And so when I read this scripture, I want you to imagine that that's your expectation. That these people are the ones that are expecting a Savior now. Not anything about some futuristic heaven or anything like that, but it was their Savior to rescue them from their oppression here and now. So let me read that. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and it will be sent back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' And they answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut into the fields. Those who went around and ahead, those who followed and shouted, 'Hosanna, and Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David.'" Do you hear that part right there? Kingdom. Not heavenly kingdom, kingdom now. "Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The understanding was that Jesus was there to conquer, not die, not surrender, not give up and leave all of this oppression and persecution for us to deal with. The understanding was that they were going to be better off with Jesus. And I want to ask this morning, is that the same for us now? Do we have this expectation that having a relationship with Jesus, that having Jesus as our Savior is gonna free and rescue us from all of the earthly terror that happens? That it's gonna physically change our situation? Because I think that oftentimes, like, that's the way that Jesus is portrayed. And there's a lot of things that Jesus does in our lives that we'll continue to talk about, but not this morning. Because when I was thinking about this, I was thinking, like, that's really, you know, a lot of times a misunderstanding, right? When we think one thing and this is the result, and then we get angry about it. And then we get frustrated with Jesus when something bad has happened. But think about those Christians. I think about there's these Egyptian Christians that were murdered, literally murdered for their faith. And what was their approach? I wonder what was really going on in their head at that moment in time. How do we understand what Jesus is to do for us? Because so oftentimes we think of this world and we go, "Well, it's tragedy. Everything's terrible. When's Jesus going to come back and rescue us all? When's that going to happen? I'm tired." You know? And I'm not like bantering your emotions, because they're my emotions too, because I feel these same things, but I just wonder if maybe we make fun of the Israelites for saying, "Crucify, crucify, crucify," and yet we do that every single day to Jesus the same way. We just don't put him up on some cross. I get that there's things that each and every one of you are dealing with, and only you know what that's like. Only you know what's going on inside of your heart that's wrestling. We just had a talk with our children last night about just behavior and listening. And I don't want to go into it because I want to keep that sacred. But the idea is that oftentimes as a parent, you tell your child to do something and you kind of just expect them to do it. You know, when you ask like, hey, don't step out in the road, you shouldn't have to say, don't step out in the road because a car could come or a tram could come or somebody could hit you or, you know, or there's a piece of ice or whatever the reason is. It's don't step out into the road. And the response should be, yes, Daddy, okay, with a smile, right? Jesus says this in chapter 13, verse 7. He said, I'll just look up there. He says, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. And that's a little sneak peek to Monday, Thursday, by the way. But again, people thought that Jesus was going to do all of these things, and he is just saying, hold on, listen to me, trust me, understand what I am trying to do here. And so oftentimes, again, we do these things and we go about with life, but is it really about what Jesus is going to do from a physical standpoint? Or is there something else that's in the backdrop that Jesus is going to enable us to do? And so this is it. You guys have heard it before. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. You got it up there? Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. You know, it's not like an easy answer to stand up here and tell you and what I've been told that, you know, all of this world that's going to hell in a handbasket, that, you know, Jesus is just gonna come back and fix all that immediately when he returns. But I wonder if this scripture, if Jesus is kind of going, dudes, I gave you the Holy Spirit. I'm going there in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I've given you these abilities to do things. I've given you the ability to teach. I've given you the ability to heal. I've given you the ability to reason. I've given you the ability to love. I've given you all of these opportunities are there for you to serve and to be with others. And so it's a matter of really twisting kind of our brain from couch potato Christian to like actually using Jesus Christian, actually embodying the body of Christ, that we are to be the image of Christ, that we are to be the ones that go forth and make disciples in all nations. And so really this Palm Sunday, I think, is about a misunderstanding that the Israelites thought that they were just going to be rescued and that like that the Roman Empire was going to be, you know, cast out. And so many times we think that Jesus is just going to, you know, how many of you are sick and people come up and you have, sorry, I'm putting your hand on you, but, you know, you have people that say, oh, in the name of Jesus, boom, and it's healed. And like, and we get this expectation that that if we don't have that, if we don't have that faith, that we're crap. And that's not true, guys. That's not true. But Jesus came here to allow us to care and to love and to do things with the best of our knowledge that we have. Don't feel bad if you can't heal somebody. It's not you anyway. If something happens and healing happens, it's Jesus Christ. It's not you. Love. Go and make disciples in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.